The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looks like he wanna. Well, before we go any further, the mystery has been solved. We're like Scooby-Doo over here. It's Ashton's birthday. That's why they had the balloons. It's Ashton's birthday. He set up the account. He put in his birthday when he set up the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. So it with the balloons because it's Ashton's birthday. So happy birthday to our guy Ashton, now a big time executive. We never see him anymore. He pops into the production office every once in a while and then pops back out. Happy birthday to Ashton. All right. Glad we were able to solve that problem. Chewy, you're not going to love this.
Okay.
I got some gush. More gush. You have been very adamant about your position on the gush. So I just wanted to give you a heads up that there is more gush surrounding the GBP. This time it comes from Pete Prisco. Pete Prisco, who tweeted out that he likes the Packers roster, he likes Halfley, and he picks the Packers to win the Super Bowl.
That's fine.
Really? That's fine.
Is the heat doing something to you down there?
No.
The rain?
I mean, I like Halfley, but I still think they're going to be better. I don't think they'll crack the top 10, but they will be better. I'm anticipating the following year for them to crack the top 10.
Wait, like, top 10 I'm in the league? You don't think they're going to be a top 10 team in the league?
Defense.
No,
oh,
top 10
thank
defense.
God. I was like, yeah. We got
no, they'll be a top 10. Top 10 team in the league. I just think they're one. Like, next year, I fully intend on picking them to win it all. This year, no. No.
Is that based mostly on that it is a transition year, that it is very challenging for a guy to step in and have that type of success immediately? You kind of got to build your way to that elite level?
Yeah, I just have to see more of these receivers because, put it, the training camp showed us nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing at all when it comes to the receivers. I have no idea. All I heard that there was gush over Dobbs early on, triple teaming him, and he was fairly quiet. I mean, no one set themselves apart from anyone else, I don't believe. I don't know if that's just training camp or whatever, but he didn't do much in the two scrimmages, correct? Against the Ravens and Denver.
Correct.
I just have to see, because they're all not going to progress at the same rate. I'm very interested to see Christian Watson, what he does. You know, he seems like he's off to a very, because we're not hearing about the hamstring at all. At all.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very important year for him. And then I'm remembering back to my third year. I was pretty much dialed in. As far as the offense, you know, where it just becomes like breathing, you know, like, oh, yeah, okay, I know what's going on here.
It's a lot of breathing talk from the big guy this morning, comparing it to kicking earlier. The other thing that Prisco said was that Matt LaFleur will win Coach of the Year. Now, we have Hardy Hard over Coach of the Year here on this show. There are times we feel like Matt LaFleur was deserving of Coach of the Year and didn't get the consideration for it. What's more likely, Gabe? That they win the Super Bowl or Matt LaFleur wins Coach of the Year?
Whew. I am going to say Super Bowl because I don't think Matt LaFleur is going to win Coach of the Year. If he was going to win Coach of the Year, kind of feels like it would have been last year. I don't know what they would have to do this year in order for him to win Coach of the Year because they were so young last year, bring so much of the team back this year. I don't think he's going to, you know, catch anybody by surprise. That usually goes to, you know, a team like the Packers last year, ended up going to D'Amico Ryans and the Texans, you know, a year ago. Like, if the Bears end up making the playoffs, I mean, they're going to get more credit. That coaching staff going to get more credit. They're going to end up winning that award. So I would say winning the Super Bowl because, I mean, they would have to go like 14-3 in order for Matt LaFleur to win the Coach of the Year at this point.
I just look at it like this, Jen. There's going to be a reset next year in the NFC. Dallas is going to be in money trouble. They're not going to be able to sign everyone back. They're going to be on a reset. San Francisco is going to be on a reset, where I think you're going to have teams like, much like the Packers, like Atlanta, is going to be pretty good next year. I think they're going to be good this year, but next year they're going to be pretty good. Detroit will be a top dog because they'll probably, their window will be wide open. Theirs is wide open right now. The Eagles, I mean, I don't know where they're at, but I would think they're going to be into maybe not as far along as Dallas and San Fran, but they may be in a soft reset where the Packers should be booming. Booming. Don't have to pay the receivers yet. Can go out and add maybe a few free agents. So that's why I like them next year.
Joshy, you said you were checking out the old Potawatomi site. Our friends over at Potawatomi do have Super Bowl odds for the Green Bay Packers and odds for Matt LaFleur Coach of the Year. What numbers do they have there for those bets?
Green Bay Packers to win the Super Bowl are plus 1,800. That is right around 10th in the league in terms of number. There's a lot of teams really close there. And then head coach of the year, Matt LaFleur leads the way at plus 1,000, followed by Jim Harbaugh, Eberflus, Raheem Morris, and D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah, depending on where you are, you can see that Eberflus is also the favorite to win with some of the other betting sites out there as well. Obviously, they're thinking that Caleb Williams and company are going to have a very good year, and he will be the recipient of that. The only thing that I take issue with the Pete Prisco tweet was how he talked about the team having a good combination of old and young. I think he means experienced.
Sure.
He can't possibly mean old. Because I believe I saw after the 53-man, and I know it's current, not final, but 53-man roster was released on Tuesday, that the Packers are actually younger this year. Barely, but still, by the numbers, younger this year than they were last year when they were the youngest team in the league, Gabe.
One guy. I mean, and you knew they were going to be right around the number they were a year ago because there's one guy on the roster over 30. There was one guy in training camp over 30. There's one guy on the roster over 30. That is Preston Smith.
Mm-hmm.
This team was going to be right around that same age. So I still have a lot of questions about the defense. We can like Halfley all we want. Is this style of defense going to work when everybody else is going to a two-high defense? He's playing a single-high safety look. How good is the personnel? Yeah, they look good against the Packers' offense at times, but that's because the Packers' offensive line is pretty unsettled still to this point. So I don't know how you can talk yourself into absolutely loving the Packers' defense quite yet when we haven't seen any sort of proof of concept. But I have to see it to believe it at this point with the Packers' defense, and that's only fair. Chewy talks about the poop Kool-Aid that we gobbled down a couple of years ago. I have to see it to believe it. Yes, they've made changes. Yes, I'm excited about those changes, but I'm not diving in going, oh yeah, top five defense, no doubt in my mind, because I still don't know if the personnel's good enough.
And here's the thing, Chu, and you tell me if I'm wrong on this, but this is the year I am most uncertain of what the Packers will be when they set foot on the field for two reasons. One, what Gabe just alluded to, which is new defensive coordinator. How do the pieces that they have fit with what his scheme is? Can he make it work? Can they gel quickly? Can they be productive right away? But two is, man, we didn't see anything in the preseason. At least it feels like in previous years, you could at least get a sense of what a team was. Even if they were vanilla, which we know they are oftentimes in the preseason, don't give away state secrets. But for this year, the fact that I saw the starters out there, Gabe, for three snaps, I can't draw any conclusions about how well.
But because
know what I'm saying?
Like, the team's still so young. Like when they did it under Aaron Rodgers. Oh, you knew Aaron was good. You knew the offensive line was pretty settled. You knew Devontae was good. Okay, we really don't need the preseason as fans. We kind of can picture this in our minds. But there's still growth, Chu, that you have alluded to at the wide receiver position that still needs to happen. There are injuries that they're trying to overcome with Tucker Kraft and Zach Tom. There are growth things that we would like to see throughout the course of the season that we did not get during the preseason.
Yeah. See, mine falls more on the defense because the they're going to have to outscore good teams. You know, they'll beat the bad teams. That's fine. But they're going to have to outscore the good teams. Like San Francisco's offense is better than Green Bay's. Philadelphia's offense is better than Green Bay's. Detroit's offense may be better than Green Bay's. So they are going to have to outscore because I really think, I mean, they sucked against the run for the last 3 years. I don't even know why I'm saying this, but I think the place they're going to struggle a little bit is against the run because your running lanes are different against a 4-3 as opposed to a 3-4, and I'll say it a million times, you know?
I swear to God.
Is.
I swear to God, if they struggle against the run and the middle of the field is wide open against the Philadelphia Eagles, it's going to be so frustrating. Because meet the new defensive coordinator, same as the last three. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I love Preston Smith. He's gives you a lot of energy. He's a veteran, but there's a difference defending the run when you got your hand down as opposed when you're standing up and having a tight end blocking you.
Well, and Chu, to your point, maybe that will be an indicator of the success. Oh, we always talk about Mike McCarthy and building, you know, as they always say,
stacking success.
Yeah.
Maybe that, what you just said about last year, they lost to some bad teams. I mean, the Tommy DeVito game with the Giants is glaring.
And that was down the stretch. Mm-hmm. That wasn't early.
Correct. So maybe that will be a distinguisher. That will be something that you can point to and say, look, last year they would have lost to this team because they were young. They were still figuring it out. There was a learning curve. But this year they have figured out a way to put away the bad teams that are on their schedule. If you look at their schedule, Gabe, who are the bad teams? Who are the teams where you look at the Green Bay Packers schedule this year and go, that should be a win, no questions asked, only if they pee down their leg in that contest are they walking away with a loss?
I would say the Titans. The Titans aren't going to be very good. The Vikings are not going to be very good. I don't think the Cardinals are good, but they've got at least some intriguing things going on about them. And I don't think the Saints are going to be very good.
That's three.
Yeah.
You know?
Technically four because you play the Vikings twice.
I mean, Jen, I look at it as could lose. You know what I mean? Not so much. It's like who can you lose to? And there's a lot of them.
Oh, they could lose to the Eagles. They could lose to the Rams. Could lose to the Texans.
They could lose
Jags,
to the Colts,
Lions.
Gabe. They could lose to the Colts.
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know?
So I
Texans,
think...
you can lose. Jaguars, you could lose. Lions, obviously. Bears, you could lose. 49ers, you could lose. Dolphins, you could lose. Lions, you could lose. Seattle, at Seattle, could lose. And then the Bears again, you could lose. Have we made predictions?
Well, so here's what I think we're taking the long and winding road to get to. It is all well and good. It is all fun when somebody like Pete Prisco puts out there, he likes the Packers roster, he likes Halfley, he picks the Packers to win the Super Bowl, and Matt LaFleur to win Coach of the Year. But I think what we're trying to do is say, to be perfectly honest, I hope all of those things happen. But I haven't seen enough yet to feel as confident as Pete is with that prediction. Right? Let me see him against the Eagles, right? Week one in Brazil. Let's see what we got. And not saying that where they start is where they will finish and how they look on week one is how they are going to look week 18. No. But the idea is, this is the first time I can remember Gabe really feeling uncertain because we didn't see anything in the preseason. I know guys see stuff at training camp. We are not privy to that because we're not up there at training camp. But I just have so few data points about this iteration of this roster and this coaching staff. I don't feel comfortable hitching my wagon to Pete Prisco's comments.
Did you feel more or less unsettled going into last season?
I think I felt less unsettled because there was more consistency. I know Jordan Love was new, right? And we didn't know what we were going to get from him. And he's the most important position and all of that driving the offense. But I think at least we saw glimpses in the preseason when Jordan Love had taken the field at other times where we had an idea of who he could be. So we know, again, I don't have as many questions about Jordan Love. It's more of the team as a whole. And I think, as we mentioned, guys, defensive. What is that going to look like?
I think there's one position that they can't have any injuries at, and if they do, it'll derail the
running back,
offensive line.
Dang.
Offensive line.
You've been banging that running back drum though for a while. I thought maybe
Josh Jacobs is fine. I mean, he's not going to play 17 games, but he's a grinder. He's a tough guy. He'll play 15. You know.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but offensive line, you get good players. It's not like you can trade for an all-pro left guard in the middle of a season. So grab your right one.
Hey, grab them both while you're at it. Ian in the 262 weighing in saying, did Chewy just put the Packers at 0-17? That was a weird ride you took
us on. I said could lose.
That was very uncomfortable for me.
In fairness, it was 4-13. Because there were four on there that, you know, weren't necessarily could lose.
They can't lose.
Yeah.
They won't lose. Got it. Okay. Just wanted to make sure that
worst case scenario, according to Chewy, they go 4-13.
We have not done predictions yet to answer your question, Chew. I think we'll do that next week, headed into week one of the NFL season, Green Bay Packers versus Philadelphia Eagles in Brazil. You have heard me talk about Professional Construction Inc. over the years. We have certainly enjoyed having them help us with all of our home projects when we just cannot handle the job. PCI can do the same for you. A remodeling project, a home addition, or maybe you're thinking about building a new home. The PCI team is here for you. Guys, they are celebrating their 20th anniversary this summer. So you know you're dealing with folks who have been there, done that, and do exceptional work. You can learn more about PCI at ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. That's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy continues next on 94.5 ESPN.
Whether you're a local who wants to visit Milwaukee or you're whether you're a local who is enjoying a night out or you're visiting Milwaukee, there we go. Enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It is ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee. With deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music, you'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. For more information, go to their website, stkatearts.com, stkatearts.com.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You fine.
Huh?
One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey?
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Chicken!
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
All right, Gabe, what do we got today?
List of 8 things in front of me. You and Chew guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, we open it up to the phone lines, 800-990-3776. Whoever gets the last one on the list wins a foursome to the Wisconsin Country Club. Go check it out at thewisconsincountryclub.com. All right, so I do have 2 lists in front of me. One I made, I think it would be, and Chewy, we talked about this earlier in the week, of, you know, how big of a Packer fan are you? It would be expert level in terms of one list. One's more, I would say, medium level. Both are Packers lists. What ones do you guys want to challenge yourselves?
And you're debating which
one. I'm asking you guys. Do you guys want to challenge yourselves, or do you want to take the easy way out?
I know, I hear how you're trying to shame
take
us
the easy way out,
into, yeah. I feel like this is an obvious answer, Chew, but maybe I'm wrong. I want the easy one.
Let's see if I have to work less if it's the expert. So I'll go expert.
Well, they're split. Joshy, what do you say? You're the deciding vote.
Easy.
All right. I am looking for the last 8 defensive coordinators for the Green Bay Packers to coach a game. Last 8 defensive coordinators to coach a game for the Green Bay Packers.
All right. Well, that does feel easy. To coach a game, that's the tricky one, is do not guess the current one because he has not coached a game yet, correct? I want to make sure, Joshy, I'm on the right page here.
Yeah, that's
correct.
How okay. I understand that.
Right, so then, Chew, would you like to take the first guess?
Go with my guy, Joe Barry Carroll.
Number one on the list. He was defensive coordinator the last 3 years.
Good one. How about Capers?
Dom Capers, number 3 on the list.
Ed Donato.
Ed Donatel is number 7 on the list.
Okay, hold on.
We're missing one here.
I mean, yeah. Technically, we're missing 5.
I'm saying you guys
in
jumped
between.
Around.
Hold on. It's Pettin, Mike Pettin.
Number 2 Pettin. On the list.
All right, we're gonna go before Donatelle would be Fritz.
Wait, that's incorrect.
How many? Wait, yeah, 8.
Yes.
Right? So hold how many on. Do we have? We have 4.
Yep.
No, that's correct.
No, that's incorrect. No. Yeah, that's incorrect.
I was there with Ed Donatel.
I understand. Well, sure, but there was somebody in between there.
I don't think so.
I'm telling you there was.
I'm out.
There's no way I'm going to be able to go back that far. I kind of figured he could handle the late 90s.
Did you? You probably just gave a big clue there, didn't you?
Me?
Oh, you're right. It wasn't Fritz.
With one in between there. Doesn't that have to leave one person?
Well, yeah, but I don't know who it was.
Bob Sanders.
Jen, just Jen? Repeat that.
Bob Sanders. But that's not from
he's
the
90s. He's number four on the list. So we need number five, number six, and number eight.
Reset the list for us. What do we
Joe
got?
Joe Barry's one. Mike Pettin's two. Dom Capers is three. Bob Sanders is four. Ed Donatell, seven. Need five, six, and eight.
There's 0% chance I'm going to be able to nail the Green Bay Packers defensive coordinators from the early 2000s and the 1990s. 0% chance.
There is one name you can absolutely get.
$800-990-3776
Absolutely.
The last eight defensive coordinators who have coached a game for the Green Bay Packers.
800-990-3776 We need callers to play our top eight at eight. We are looking for the last eight defensive coordinators for the Green Bay Packers.
You're great. Yeah, I mean, you're right, Gabe. It was not Fritz.
You think? He's got the list in front of him.
And I love the guy who it is. He's one of the all-time greats. That it? We're done?
No, I mean, we have to have callers. There's three more left. What do you mean, are we done?
First time?
Hey, just looking to put down the headset and go to the bathroom? You got to pee that bad? What's going on?
3776. Justin and Greendale, you're up first on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top eight at eight list?
Jim Bates.
Jim Bates is number five on the list.
Just out of curiosity, Joshy, was that the one you thought I would get? No, he's shaking his head violently back and forth. All right, Justin, keep going.
Emmett Thomas,
greatest guy, yeah.
Was the defensive coordinator in 1999 under Ray Rhodes.
Yeah, he left a real lasting impression on you, didn't he, big guy?
He did.
Forgot all about it.
Oh, man. Justin, we got one more left. Number six on the list.
Fritz Schirmer
is incorrect.
Wait, didn't Chewy guess?
Chewy did guess Fritz Schirmer. That was incorrect.
So does Justin get another guess if it was already guessed? Justin, you get another guess because it was already guessed.
Need an answer.
Good. Ed Donatell.
Ed Donatell was already correctly guessed. Need a name.
Ray Rhodes.
Is incorrect.
800-990-3776. Let's go out to Nate and Aaron. Nate and Aaron, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have one guess left. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
I think it is Bob Slowick.
Bob Slowick is the correct answer between Bates and Donatell.
Josh, there's no chance, Josh, you thought I would get that one.
I thought you knew who that was.
No.
Yeah,
I don't.
Bad defensive coordinator.
The defensive coordinator in 2004 for the Green Bay Packers.
For how many years?
1 year.
Yeah. That was what was significant to me, was he was a one-and-done guy, and everyone talked about him. Everyone knows a Slowick name.
Yeah, because Slowick and Bates were both one-and-done guys.
Yeah. So I would have covered the team when Sanders was there and Dom Capers was there. He was there for a very, very, very long time. And then obviously Mike Pettin, Joe Barry Carroll, and now Jeff Hafley. Good list for you, Gabe. Tougher than I thought it was going to be. Probably tougher than you thought it was going to be. But then you should know to.
Well, I knew you guys. Thought Chewy would get Emmett Thomas because, you know, he was a player Emmett Thomas
was
the coach.
Lined up against his defense.
Yes.
Thought that Chewy would get that one. I thought Bates and Slowick, because they were one and done guys, would potentially be the hangups, but I knew other fans would be able to get
for,
that.
Gabe, for giggles, what was the tough list?
Last eight kickers to make a field goal in a game for the Packers.
Ooh, huh.
I've got like two people I know, and they're Hall of Famers for the Packers.
So you're guessing Longwell,
three.
And Crosby.
I think you would have been able to potentially get six.
How far back does it go? To
1988.
Or to Longwell?
Oh, 88.
88?
Goes past Jackie.
And this is the last eight field goal kickers.
Last eight to make a field goal in a game.
Wow, that's because Mason Crosby was there for so long.
Yeah.
And Longwell was there for so long.
Mm-hmm. No, there was Dave Rayner was in there. And I don't
Chester
know
if, the
no.
Well, I don't know if you would have remembered Chewy, but Craig Hendrick actually made a couple of field goals when Jackie was injured in 1995. And then
Checker.
Dean Dorsey and Dale Dawson, which feel like made up names, would have been the names from 1988.
Absolutely. All right, good list by you, Gabe. Nice job, and congratulations to our winner. I believe it was Nate in Aaron. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this.
Chewy, anytime that you mess up at your house, whether it's, I don't know, maybe you have the blammer over, he stays a little bit too long, your wife's upset with that, there's only one way to make up for it.
No, and thank God for Dean, because you know I have to have a happy wife. That's why I go to the jewelry center. Let's be honest, most guys don't have a clue when it comes to buying jewelry. Gabe's one of the smart ones. He got the engagement ring and the wedding bands from the jewelry center for his wedding in 2022. They also do in-house repairs for watches and other fine jewelry, like my championship ring when it needs work. I know where I'll be taking it to. The Jewelry Center, they have three locations to stop into: Greenfield, Brookfield, and Burlington. And if my wife can't tag along, she can just look through all the many styles of diamonds and other fine cuts online at shoptjc.com. I'm living proof. Happy wife, happy life. The Jewelry Center will make it happen. Brookfield, Greenfield, Burlington, and online at shoptjc.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You called them a white stiff
someone else.
Earlier.
From one white stiff to another? I'm pretty well versed in the realm of stiffs.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Are you listening?
Just a little housekeeping here before we get to our next topic here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. There's a lot of folks weighing in on the YouTube page. Remember, you can always stream the show on YouTube, see us as we do Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, as opposed to just listening on the radio. And a lot of folks were saying that Ray Rhodes was in fact a defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. Gabe, can you explain to the folks who are championing Ray Rhodes as an answer for top 8 at 8, one even saying that your list is wrong, how top 8 at 8 works?
Was Ray Rhodes a defensive coordinator? Yes, he was a defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers, much like Fritz Schirmer was a defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers. However, they are not among the previous 8, which is what we were looking for on the list of 8 things. So
yeah,
Ray Rhodes
Thomas.
Was...
Yep. Emmett Thomas was the D coordinator when Ray Rhodes was the head coach.
Correct. That is correct.
Yeah. So how far down on the list were they? Were they like 9 and 10?
Yeah, they would have been 9 and 10.
Yeah, okay. So just so we're clear, guys, yes, Ray Rhodes was a defensive coordinator. He was not one of the last 8 defensive coordinators. And the distinction there, as you mentioned, was to call a game.
Yes.
Because Jeff Hafley is obviously the current one. He has not yet called a game for the Green Bay Packers defense. All right, moving on, guys. Generally speaking, we embrace technology. Some of us more than others. While Chewy doesn't love his computer or his cell phone, he loves robots flipping burgers. So, like, he is pro-technology, no matter how much he wants to stammer and say that he is not. The NFL is also pro-technology, even though they've been criticized for, at times, lagging behind some of the other major sports organizations. They tried to implement the robot officiating when it comes to first downs in the NFL. And the technology did not work as flawlessly, as efficiently as they thought it would. So it sounds like, guys, they're going back to the chain gang. There was hope, Chewy, that they would be able to go to this electronic first down measuring system. The results were inconsistent. And so they're just going back to the chain gang. Does this surprise you that in 2024, when we keep clamoring about VAR, we keep clamoring about putting a chip in the ball, which there is, by the way, we want to make sure we're clear on that, that the NFL has decided for the 2024 season, they're just going back to the dudes, hop, trotting out to the field to measure it with a chain.
So what failed? What was the technology? Was it a laser beam shooting across the other way?
Freaking laser beams.
No freaking laser beams.
No.
What was it?
Very similar to what they use, like if you happen to be watching the U.S. Open, very similar to what they have with all the cameras
tracking
and being able to track it. And, you know, they do the thing where everybody starts clapping to see if the ball's inbounds or out of bounds where it landed. That's what they use. So once the ball is spotted, they use that technology to then see, okay, was that indeed 10 yards from where, you know, it was, you know, spotted and marked for first down?
I'm not surprised, because obviously on this show we run into technical problems fairly often, I would say. So I'm not surprised from that standpoint. But why is everyone so against the chain gang?
I don't know, Jen. Why are you against the chain gang?
You know what? That's a really good question, and I don't. I think I speak for people. I'm not against the chain gang. It has worked for a very long time. It does feel a little bit like this is reinventing the wheel. But there are times where the spot of the ball is debatable. There, I mean, we remember last year, it was Aaron Jones who didn't like the spot of the ball on a certain play, and then on the next time he carried the ball, he wouldn't get up off of the ball until the officials were right on top of him because he felt like he got a bad spot the previous run.
But this has nothing to do with spotting. That has nothing to do with this. This is once the ball's been spotted, then they see if you got the first down.
Yeah, and I think it's the idea of if you can improve it, if you can make it more efficient, you should. They tried. They couldn't. The results were inconsistent. And, guys, I guess the biggest criticism of it was that at times it took longer for them to get an answer on whether or not it was a first down or not than it would to just trot the gang out there and measure the 10 yards with the stick.
But it doesn't matter until third down. It really doesn't. It doesn't. Because what if there's no difference in play calling between third and six and third and seven? There's not. Or third.
Yeah, I mean, they would really only use isn't. They would only it's use like, this chew much like they would only use the chain gang to see if a first down was
sure.
Yeah, if you got the first down once the ball was spotted. So they were trying to save the time of use this instead of trotting the guys out there, you know, halfway on across the field.
But would you agree, Gabe, there's no difference between third and 2 inches and third and a yard?
There really shouldn't be.
There really isn't. You don't go in, oh, my God, we need a yard as opposed to 2 inches. You're still calling
We need
crap.
An extra 34 inches? What's going on?
Yeah, the big, you know? The big issue is that the chain gang got it wrong, the officials. There'd be a kink in the chain. The official would look down and say it was a first down and there was clearly a gap in there. They pulled out a damn note card out of their pocket to try and see if there was a gap between the ball and the actual pull. Like, that's why it's going away. Because even with that, there was still error inside of it, which is an issue.
Well, and I think, again, guys, this always goes back to money. This always goes back to gambling. When people are betting on games, they want to make sure that they're getting the calls right. And if there's any debate about whether or not it was a first down and your team gets to keep the ball or, you know, turn it over, then, yeah, you want to make sure that it's right. I think that, though, this goes back to our dependence on technology and the perception that it is always better to use technology.
Like, but isn't that a spot thing, Jen?
But that's what I was saying with the Aaron Jones thing before, right? You're talking about where they spot the ball.
Yeah,
Aaron Jones on that drive was like, no, you know, you burned me on that last one. I'm not getting off of this ball until I have an official right on top of me to spot the ball where I actually carried it to. So, yes, that has been a problem for the league as well. How do you change that, Gabe? How do you fix that?
Is that I don't
going
know.
Back to having that chip in the ball, and the chip can somehow triangulate with other sensors to know where it was on the field?
The issue, again, always the issue with spotting of the football and trying to use technology to do so is something down? Because it's not just where is the ball, it's where is the ball plus knee or elbow or shoulder or, you know, whatever body part is touching to signify down. That's where it becomes more complicated. It's not just, oh, yeah, that's just this one thing. No, it's multiple things that could touch down.
Let me ask you this. Could you put a chip in the knee pad of the receiver?
But what if your elbow is the thing that goes down to make you down? Your head, your shoulder.
I mean, I don't think we're that far from that, guys. I think there will be chips in the uniforms. I think there will be chips, you know, somehow on the players.
Yeah.
And that, like in soccer, educate me here. In soccer, don't they have technology that can tell you if someone is offsides or not? It's not just as simple as the eye test anymore.
It's almost the same exact thing as what Gabe described with the U.S. Open, where they're using cameras to...
But that's just the ball, right? It's not a person.
Yeah.
And
that's where's the ball plus where's this person.
Yeah. So they just... It's not like... It's a visual representation. Because, I mean, their knees or the fabric of their shorts will be deemed like
offside.
Yes. Yeah. So it's not simply like they're full body, so they just use the same technology as they do on the ball on the humans.
And we're getting out over our skis a little bit here because we just don't have all of the information from a technology standpoint. This is just not our strong suit. But it does feel like if they can do it with the VAR, if they can do it in soccer, and they can delineate between where someone's body part is in with respect to the ball, where the ball is, it does feel like we can't be too far away from that in the NFL.
I feel like we're light years away from that still. Because how do you know that, okay, my shoulder pad went off, but is that because somebody's tackling me? Because, or is that the ground? Right? Like, it's just, it's so hard. There are so many different variables in football to be able to get the technology to get a spot right. I think this will be implemented next year in terms of ball's been spotted. Is it a first down? I think they'll have this down by the time we hit next year, because my guess is now that they've installed it in all of these stadiums, they're still going to be running it throughout the course of the game, trying to figure out what the bugs are. And by the time we hit 2025, that part will be...
Are we trying to get too perfect here, for crying out loud? Can't we just play football and shut the hell up?
It's a really good question by you two, the shut the hell up part especially. But my issue is the gambling. When people are betting large amounts of money or even small amounts of money on the outcome of these games, it feels personal when calls don't get right. It feels personal when you think your team just earned a first down and the officiating decides that they didn't, or vice versa if you're on the other team. Like, that's where I feel like people are so much more financially invested in the outcome of these games, which is why the league feels pressure to enhance it when they can, or if they can.
I mean, replay kind of fixes it. I mean, I get in baseball with the umpires, because some of those strikes are just, or balls are ridiculous, but I mean, for the most time, I mean, most times in the NFL, don't they get it right? I mean, I'm good with 98%.
Let me ask you this,
too. I still sometimes call 98% game a win.
This is going to be the biggest issue with the NFL. It's not technology. Chewy, can you tell me what a catch is in the NFL?
No, not really.
Yeah, either can I. And that's a big issue. Like, they haven't over... I felt like I knew what a catch was when you played, and in the 20 years since then, what a catch is has become so convoluted that I have no idea whether, when they go to replay, whether or not a catch is going to stand, whether a catch is going to be overturned, or vice versa.
So are you making the argument here, Gabe, that they should be focusing their attention on that first and foremost, especially in a heavy passing league?
They have. They change the rule every year, it seems like. Because there's another nuance that they add to
what's
because
somebody has a catch or non-catch on the field that then throws everybody into a tizzy, and then they're like, oh shoot, we need to add a nuance, we need to add a new disclaimer, a new rule that addresses what just happened there. And the problem is, you can't hypothetically your way through all of that stuff. You don't know you need to make a rule or address it until it happens, and that's why it feels like you're chasing the tail.
Well, if you do, I mean, if 2 feet come down, then you do the Macarena and then do a backflip, you have now completed the process
of the
catch.
Yeah, you gotta make, right, an athletic move. What if you're not an athlete?
That's a great point, Chew. Great point.
You know what I'm saying?
Mercedes,
I mean,
loves
Frank,
point.
But if Frank, we split Frank out wide and he catches the ball, he can't make an athletic move.
Yeah, and those offensive linemen now, they got those trick plays.
Yeah,
all
they,
offensive linemen. I mean,
is it wrong for me to just be at the point of the NFL makes billions of dollars a year? Figure it out. I don't care how complicated it is. You have enough money.
I think they like it.
But
enough
rich
they
people.
Like the controversy.
But if the technology doesn't quite exist yet,
pay someone to figure it out. When there's money behind something,
everybody will figure it out. The owners don't want to spend that money. They want to keep that money for themselves.
Yeah. I mean, the NFL is also like making, as an entity, like the owners obviously too, but...
Well, no, all that money goes to the owners.
Well, and have you seen Roger Goodell's salary? A lot of it goes to him.
Yeah.
Either that money goes to the owners, goes to paying people like Roger Goodell, or goes to the players.
Brandon weighing in saying, I'm not against the chain gang crew. I'm against the NFL and Sunday ticket costing $700. And instead of using the state-of-the-art technology to spot the football in 2024, they are still using a chain. There is a part of me, guys, that thinks... It's fine. The chain is fine. Mm-hmm. Like, if the technology is going to make it more complicated, if it's going to make it take longer, because that has always been the issue with these sporting events, they're supposed to fit in a tight little window so you can seamlessly dovetail into the next game on that network with a tiny show in between.
I mean,
I think that the chain is probably fine and it doesn't need to be reinvented.
How many times are they bringing out the chain to measure for a first down anyway? In
not
per game?
Very.
Like maybe maybe one
handful,
maybe
could you,
twice.
Could you count them on one hand?
Yeah, I don't think it even happens that often, and that's the only thing this would really affect is bringing out the chains.
Ron in the key weighing in saying the chip still eliminates some of the factors, so at least the only thing you have to be concerned with is if they are down, since you know where the ball is. He says you have less accuracy. Is that with the chip, Ron? Go ahead and clarify, if you will. The chip is less accurate? Is that the point that you're contending?
No, without it. So he's saying you basically have, you have one factor. You should be able to solve the rest.
Because you have the chip in the ball.
It locates exactly where it is no matter what.
Does it, is the chip in the middle of the ball? Do we know? Is it, no, I mean,
it's like being suspended in the middle of the football?
Like, is it in the middle of the ball? Like the core, is it the core of the ball or is it in the nose of the ball? Like that makes a difference,
well,
right?
As with something oblong, it would have to be either in both or in the middle. Like on each end or in the middle. That's the only way it would make
sense. I'd chip the whole dang thing. Just chippity chip, chip, chip throughout the ball. Then you can figure out where
instead
it is.
Of, instead of pigskin, it would become a chip ball. You just have chips covering the entire football.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a perfect endorsement opportunity for Lay's or Frito-Lay or something.
Instead
like
of the Duke, it becomes the Dorito.
It feels like just NVIDIA would take that. If it's a whole chip, like a chip.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. You've heard me talk about my garage floor, how it was transformed thanks to the work of Showtime Floors. And guys, it really was. We've had it done now for several months, and I can tell you it looks the exact same today as it did when we first got it done. That is a huge relief for me, as I'm okay with the kids walking out to the garage, grabbing something from the car in their bare feet. I know they're not tracking in all of the dust and dirt that we had with our old concrete surface. And now, guys, they've got a new product. It's a sealer that you can get applied that will protect your new and existing surfaces around your home. They even use it at General Mitchell Airport right here in Milwaukee. Guys, right now, 10% off if you mention ESPN. Go to their website, showtimefloors.com, and tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tuna. It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we, for once, grow up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Relive the greatest postseason run in Milwaukee Bucks history with the Bucks in 6 podcast. Bucks in 6 presents a special series commemorating the Bucks title run in 2021. From the thrilling 7-game series against the Nets to the 50-piece from Giannis in the finals, immerse yourself in the sounds of each playoff round. Bucks in 6 on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now, Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts.
G-A-S, gas, gas, gas. I have to stop and get gas. I have to get gas. I cannot walk out of here, guys, and not get gas. That is the first place I need to go. I am saying it out loud to you and all of our loyal listeners to hopefully keep me from running out of gas on the highway.
Am I a bad person if I'm rooting for you to get on 43?
I was just going to say, for show content only, I hope you run out of gas.
For content purposes, I'm hoping she forgets or decides, you know what, I think I could make it home, gets on 43, and then runs out of
gas. I'm so nervous about starting the car, Chew, because I think, again, this is not my area of expertise, obviously, but I think when you start the vehicle, when you turn the ignition key, that's when you use the most gas, is that right? So it's going to, like, it's going to flood it, and then, it, like, I'm going to have to hope and pray that I have enough gas to get from here to that gas station down the street.
I mean, how far is it?
Well, okay, so the easiest way to get there is probably...
Well, I'm going to go out the way I normally go out, assuming that the parking structure is open there, and then straight across, straight across.
It's a big assumption.
Instead of getting on the highway where I normally would, you go straight across, you go left, you go right, you're there.
I'm hoping for, you know, the partition doors that now go up and down?
Yeah.
And it's a single car lane? Right there, baby.
Yeah, but if there's an angle, because this is a parking structure, so there will be a downward slope, I can throw it into neutral, I can try to ride it, you know, Tokyo drift a little if I need to.
That's not going to get you to the gas station, though. Then you're just going to be left on Plankinton.
Can you push me? Could you get behind me? No, you have Greeny.
I got Greeny. I got to go do Greeny.
Ashton's going to have to push me. Ashton, happy birthday! Ashton's in the production office. Oh. Happy birthday to... He's leaving the production office. All right, listen. On our poll, on our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll, we put, how many times have you run out of gas? I'm not going to lie. These results are not encouraging for me. Three or more times, 3.9% of people.
Hey, there you go.
Two or three times, 5.2% of people. So we got about 9%
still
of
less
people.
Than 10%.
Yes. 27% of people have run out of gas one time, because, you know, that's normal. You run out of gas one time, and then you go, whoa, I don't ever want that to happen again.
Learn from your mistakes.
64% of people have never run out of gas. I'm just a very rare...
It's not that we're rooting against you, Jen.
Yeah, we are.
I am.
We're celebrated. Don't sugarcoat a game.
Oh, gosh. Will the Intouch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.